ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading today from the Adi Lila chapter 4, text 108, about a difficult concept in chanting. It's the inner orientation, the inner attitude, and we will enter a very, let us say, esoteric part of this. You will be surprised. Due to lackage of time, we will go quite fast. Shesha Lilaya Prabhur Krishna Vira Unmada. Shesha Lilaya Prabhur Krishna Vira Unmada. Brahma Maya Cheshta Ara Pralab Maya Vada. So I will directly go to the translation of this verse and the next one. But please note, here's Mayavada in the translation. Maya means delirious and Vada means talk. So this is quite a polemic expression to call the impersonalist Mayavadis. It means they talk deliriously. Hare Krishna. It's nice to have a little religious polemics. In the final portion of his pastimes, at the end, when Mahaprabhu was here, Lord Chaitanya was obsessed with the madness of separation from Lord Krishna. He acted in erroneous ways and talked deliriously. Text 108. Radhika Rabhava Jaiche Udhava Dashane Se Bhave Mata Prabhu Rahe Ratri Dine. Just as Radhika went mad at the sight of Udhava, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was obsessed day and night with the madness of separation. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Those under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that his mode of worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna in separation is the real worship of the Lord. When the feelings of separation become very intense, then one can attains the stage of meeting Sri Krishna. I will repeat this last sentence for your kind attention. When the feelings of separation become very intense, one attains the stage of meeting Sri Krishna. So-called devotees like the Sahajiyas cheaply imagine they are meeting Krishna in Vrindavan. Such thinking may be useful, but actually meeting Krishna is possible through the attitude of separation taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please let us say the prayers. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskacari Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Govakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My dear devotees, I want to say this will be almost the last class. It's a class in two parts. Tomorrow it will continue. It's about the silver coin. You remember we were talking in these morning lectures about virtual or a figurative marketplace, the marketplace of the Holy Name, where faithful followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can come, and according to their inner devotional qualification, they will get the Holy Name with particular revelations. Now, these qualifications correspond to the inner levels of advancement with which Rupa Goswami has detailed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and they are compared to coins. We had now a quarter and then half silver coin, and now we have the full silver coin. It responds to bhava, where the Holy Name, when it is chanted, will be a rasita nam. That means the Holy Name will imbued with a very particular transcendental taste, a transcendental mellow, and therefore compared to rock candy. Have you eaten rock candy? As children, we usually do it. I remember I got very little money from my parents. We call it pocket money. I got 5 German marks per month. And there was a particular time when I spent it all on rock candy. I would go every day, and bought for 25 pfennigs, very minimal amount, a whole thing of rock candy. It came, I remember, with a thread. It had been placed into molasses, and then it had crystallized, and then you had to buy it. The thread was still inside, so you had to suck very carefully to not have the taste the threat in the mouth. And so nowadays everything is so unromantic. The threat is missing, you know, but those who appreciate real rock candy, they know. Yes, it's very sweet, and it has a very, if it's not refined like that old rock candy, it has a very different mellows. You feel you have a whole whole flower bouquet in your mouth. It's so tasteful, so different tastes, different fragrances. So the Holy Name is compared with such a item because it has different feelings inside. As you chant, you will have different transcendental feelings which move in your heart, which is the receptive of these feelings. And I believe sometimes when you chant more, you also have different types of feelings. Psychologists call these feelings the Achterbahn feelings. What is it? I only know German. Freud and these rascals, I know them. You know, the up and down, what is it? Whole roller coaster feelings. They have said when a person enters the spiritual process, they have found out and by studying different movements, first and foremost the Hare Krishnas, that they sometimes feel very elated and then strangely enough quite miserable, and then it goes up and down because they are in a place where they, that's what they say, where they are very fragile. So we know what this situation is. We know we are getting purified, and we see as we chant also the areas where we need to improve, and therefore sometimes it happens as devotees that we are unsteady feelings. We have unsteady feelings. This is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur for those who are interested in transcendental psychology, but he says these six symptoms of unsteady devotional service, where you don't have yet reached a platform where you are a stalwart, as Prabhupada says. Stalwart means like an old, steadfast devotee with deep roots, you know, and you're no longer so shaky. Anyways, this is a different subject. I wanted to go right to this subject of the right feelings in devotional service. It's very important that you know what your particular spiritual school describes as an inner orientation on your path. Christianity, for instance, they very much orient themselves on Jesus and how he suffered for all of us on the cross. And, you know, we just had that Friday. What is it called? Good Friday. They call it a Good Friday. That was the Friday when the nails were driven through the hands and feet of Jesus and he was crucified. That's in German we call it Karfreitag. Kar means but they call it Good Friday. I mean, yes, for them it's good news. The Lord is taking their suffering on that day and they like to keep that in the consciousness, because then they understand, oh, I should be good, you know, the Lord has taken this. Maybe that's why they say it's Good Friday. It should be good. He has so kindly taken my sins upon himself and really went through the suffering, you know. And this mood is very much prevalent in old forms of Christianity, where even the followers like to take part of the suffering of Jesus by, you know, even inflicting physical pain upon themselves or at least mental pain, where they really repent and you know, cry and follow in a mood which helps them to connect with their ideal that is Jesus' selfless love for humanity, yeah? And his saving grace. This is at least how much I have understood it. Maybe Christian theology, a theologian could tell us much more about it, and even I missed the core of it, but I wanted to give an example. Each path, religious or spiritual, will tell their followers you have to have the right orientation in your heart. Here it says, those under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's us, you know, can understand that his mode of worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna in separation is the real worship of the Lord. We feel, in our line, we should feel the separation from Krishna. And listen to this now, it gets a little theological here. When the feelings of separation becomes very intense, in other words, if you're good in this, one attains the stage of meeting Sri Krishna. Nam Prabhupada, as the Acharya, he does this in a very short paragraph. He says how one could misunderstand this in a mood. One should could be a sahajiya. That's a bad word. That's the people who got it all wrong. And they cheaply imagine they meet Krishna. No, he says the Goswamis, who are the real followers of Mahaprabhu, always ask, "Where are you now?" And Prabhupada would quote a verse. Are you under the Vansi Vata tree, or are you loitering on the banks of the Jamuna or near Govardhan? Where are you? I remember lecture in Hyderabad where I was personally present. We followed Srila Prabhupada at that time by train through India to a few lecture spots where he gave lectures. Oh my God, that was so good. We were very close to Prabhupada in his preaching mood. And I remember there was this huge pandal in Hyderabad. My dear devotees, so many people in India came to listen to what Prabhupada said. It was very much making us proud of Srila Prabhupada. He would sit on an elevated pandal. I mean, everything happened in a pandal, but on an elevated stage, I wanted to say, was sometimes as high as one man with stretched out arms from England. They are a little longer, the man from England, than the Italian man. So it was an English long man with stretched out arms, so high. And then there was really an ocean of people. It was an ocean. You would say, where does it end? There was neon lights. It looked for us who were young and immature like a kilometer of people. It was really a lot. I guess from my crowd estimations must be 30,000 people look like that, you know. So, yes. So then, at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada had a system of taking questions. There were so many people, he asked them, or it was announced before he came on stage, that they please write their question on a piece of paper. Because sometimes when Prabhupada, the old system was to give the microphone into the people, but you know how it is when people, it's also in the Hare Krishna movement, when they get a microphone, they begin to talk, tell a story. It's not a question any longer. They enjoy the rare opportunity, you know. So to avoid that, questions were written down and translated sometimes when they were in Hindi because the questioner didn't get it that he had to write in English or didn't know, or mostly English questions were taken. They were read by a secretary. Prabhupada listened to the question and gave his answer. So there was this one this was the usual system, but at our pandal, somehow the old system got back because maybe it was forgotten that they should write it down or there was no pens and paper were supplied. At least someone got on the microphone and he talked something which totally upset Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada, after saying, "Are you finished?" You know, when he was finally finished, Prabhupada just gave a good answer. The question was like this. I won't tell you all the craziness in the question because it's not necessary. But essentially it was like this. The man talked of his grandmother who was regularly having Krishna darshan. My grandmother was visited by Lord Krishna very regularly. I have to go a little louder. Thank you. Very regularly. And we saw as children a cloud was coming around her, and then we heard the sounds of a baby sucking milk. So Krishna, baby Krishna, was visiting my grandmother, and my grandmother was breastfeeding him. And it was going on like this, how the sound was and how the cloud was and everything. You could really see Prabhupada was having a difficult time to wait for his answer. And then his answer came very beautifully. It came forceful, but I will not try to imitate Prabhupada's force. This can't be done. Only he can do this. He said, "This is wrong." He didn't really talk about against the grandmother, because that would be the worst offense in India. You can't offend a person's mother or grandmother. That is good. They hold very high respect for the mother and grandmother. But Prabhupada, he said, in our line, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are our example, and they used to roam around in Vrindavan, and they would never say, "I have met Krishna." But really, you know, never. It was really like a never, never, never. They would always say, "Where are you, Krishna?" It came so tenderly, it came so... You could see the voice of the Vrindavan Goswami had entered Prabhupada's own longing, and it came from it now from his own heart. "Where are you? Where?" Prabhupada went really into this. "Where are you?" Separation. We are separated from Krishna now, and we want so much that he accepts us back. Different examples have been given in our tradition. One is of a child who gets lost on a marketplace, and he's surrounded with strange people he has never seen before. It's so huge, you know, when there are villages, and then the villages go to get certain items to the marketplace in the town, and its mother takes the child to the town, and he gets lost. I remember my parents tell me this when I was young. My mother would take us to the big marketplace in St. Pauli, and sometimes she was purchasing items, and I was always so alive and so interested in various things, I would run, take the opportunity and run and get lost, of course, in the hue. And I would then, at one time, I remember, I still remember, it's like a traumata, I got lost for half a day. I was at the half a day, I was just so much crying for my mother. I was making the whole marketplace crazy with my crying. I was really like, besides myself, with deep moods of separation. And somehow they got me to the right place. There was loudspeaker, people were going through the crowd, you know, there's someone crying, he's a small boy, he's dressed like this with a red thing on his head, you know, Baskenmütze, a basket head, and then the mother found me and everything was all right. So this is this, now my dear devotees, this mood of calling Krishna, in this mood, calling out to him, that is what we have to learn. In his little article on chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhupada says we should cry like a child cries for the mother. That he gives this example, and who feels I'm lost, and really I cannot go on living without this. And the more you advance, not in the size of your belly, you know, from the good prasadam, no, you should advance in a good mood. The more you advance in the proper feelings of Krishna consciousness, where you start to cry really for Krishna, that's the more you make advancement. That is what is the driving force, the mood. And that must be happen especially in the while you chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada gave a beautiful talk on this in a lecture in New York in 69. He said like this: "So we are addressing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, the energy of the Lord, oh the Lord, please accept me. That's all. Please accept me. We have no other prayer. Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us. That's all. That's all. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting Him, please accept me. Please accept me. Now, at this moment in time, most of us also cry, but because they cry for themselves, not for Krishna. Oh, I'm so fallen. Oh, I didn't get a husband. All by now, I'm already approaching 23 years of age, and it has not yet happened. What is wrong with my life? This is what the typical crying of the Matajis is. I know very well. It's an open secret. And the men cry, now it gets intense. Wait, you will lose your pants now. Oh, why does no one understand me? Oh, you know, why don't they care for me? And Hare Krishna. Oh, why everything is so miserable and so on. This is crying for yourself. It's not crying for Krishna. You won't make a lot of advancement. In fact, you will make advancement in depression only. That is not the mood in a transcendental movement. That's self-obsession. I'm sorry to say. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur talks about this misdirected crying. He says, material feelings of separation give rise to a despondency, depression, that reveals the attachment one has for material life. Whereas the despondency that results from the feelings of separation for Krishna are the best proof that one makes advancement, and it brings about the desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses. So material crying means you are, when you are obsessed with this selfish mood and you're lamenting, it's really lamenting, we shouldn't say it, crying. It means something for your own self. Oh, I didn't get this. I didn't get enough attention, or I didn't get a husband up till now. And, this is self-obsession. It's in the world of matter. If you want to rise out of this matter, you will have to learn to direct your lamentation, if you want your feelings that things are not all right, to Krishna. You can understand that it's not all right. I have left him. I'm separated from him, and that is that's the problem. It's not the problem that I don't have enough attention or no position. They always treat me like a bhakta. The problem really is you have lost Krishna. If you're back with Krishna, everything will be taken care of. Even a child knows this on the marketplace. Now I'm hungry, I have no money, I don't even know how to get home, and I will die on this marketplace, and then he starts to cry for the mother. Huh? Of course, that's sense gratification crying. That's the wrong term. I mean, that's not the spiritual crying. But you need to know, I need to meet Krishna. This is the purpose of my life. This is why I came to this interesting movement. The beginning of our movement starts with this crying. Do you know this? historically, Mahaprabhu left Navadvip as a pandit. He had a school, a college, if you so want, and he taught grammar. Not spiritual subjects, grammar. Of course, whatever the Lord says, you know, when you sit in the Lord, he just opens his mouth and you are bathed in. But in the Leela, we are following the Leela now, that according to that logic, he just did not talk about spiritual things. The Vaishnavas would meet him on the street and they would say, "Oh, Nimai Pandit, if your intelligence would be used in understanding Krishna, if you would only talk about Krishna, wow, that would be good." And then Lord Chaitanya, smiling because his own servants did not yet recognize him, he said, "One day I will learn from the Vaishnavas. And then I will become such a Vaishnavas that everyone will come begging to my door." Hare Krishna. So the Vaishnavas were afraid of him when he was in Navadvipa. I don't know if you know. They would, because he would stop them on the road and he would ask them a question, an intellectual question, a testing question, and whatever they say, he knew a better answer and defeated them. I'm reminded there was once a Gaudiya movement, and there was one former ISKCON preacher who would ask you a question on a verse, you know, and he was really studying, he knows Sanskrit and everything, and whatever you answer, he would always show that you are the fool, and you know, and that was such an unpleasant character, until finally the life took care of him and he didn't do that any longer. He also go, "Oh, I know." He would just entangle you and show that the ISKCON sannyasis don't know anything, and you know, and you know. So Lord Chaitanya, he would do this, and he would, as we say in German, I won't translate this for you, der hat den Leuten die Hose ausgezogen. You know, you can understand from the sound of this what he did. It was so. The Vaishnavas was, "Why do you always argue? Why always debating? Why?" They would just run away. Then he went to Gaya. There he had a transformation. He saw the footprint of Lord Vishnu and cried. He couldn't contain his ecstasies met Ishwarapuri, took his sannyas, his mantra there. He was initiated, in other words. And that same night, he was so eager he felt so much separation from Krishna. He just wanted to run to Vrindavan. And something happened that he didn't do it good. You know, the Devata said, "Don't go to Vrindavan now. First start your Sankirtan movement. You have to have a certain mission why you have appeared." And good. And then Mahaprabhu went to back to his home town, Navadvip, a changed person. But the real change happened on the way when one morning he went up early. He looked across the Ganga while his associates who were traveling with him were fast asleep still, and he plunged his body into the Ganga and swam across to a place called Kanai Natayshala. There he climbed on the rocky coast. I see the coast, the bank of the Ganga. It has good rocks where there were holes inside where the crocodiles lived. You can go there nowadays and you can chant. The crocodiles are somewhere else and in the caves. Beautiful place. We have a temple there. And he went there and there something happened which he discussed in his own words. I saw a beautiful boy, blackish like a tamal tree. His enchanting curly hair was decorated with fresh gunja berries. His head was decorated with a colorful peacock feather, and the jewels on his body were so bright that I could not see him properly. He held an enchanting flute in his hand, and his lotus feet were adorned with attractive ankle bells. His arms were decorated with jewel ornaments. His chest had the mark of Sri Vatsa. There was a Kostuba jewel, a necklace from jewels, and he was dressed in yellow garments which were worn in an exquisite manner. He had sharp-shaped earrings on his ear. He smilingly approached me. Then he embraced me. And then he ran away. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he said this, he came into the mood of the Vipralamba Bhava, it's called. And he cried out, "Where is Krishna?" The people were, you know, it was really, I will not imitate it because I'm not feeling like that, but he felt something which was so intense, you know. I don't know, have you ever seen a person looking at you feeling a very intense emotion? I have seen only a person who was angry at me, and I never forget this. He was so angry, and after the meeting, I was for 1 month in the hospital. He was really killing me, you know. But I never forget the anger which was spitting out of his eyes. It haunts me that you know he wanted to kill me, but the secret is no one can know. But I almost killed him, but I was finished afterwards. It was just naked rage, you know, just unedited rage from a previous life. Two enemies meeting each other. It was just so raw, that emotion, so absolutely evil, you know, so absolutely powerful that, you know, we were like dogs getting at each other's throats and just only kill. It was previous life thing. I think it, my horoscope says like this. It was before. It was not in Krishna consciousness during a political discussion. It was before. Don't worry. I'm no longer like that. It came out, and something happened afterwards. It was one of these transformative experiences. So here is a real thing. Where is Krishna? It was so raw. It was so raw is not the word. So pure. There was nothing else, in other words, in it. Unadulterated, unalloyed. People who saw that were just... Mahaprabhu talked, "Where will I find Krishna who plays his flute?" And as he went into it, I will not do it because I will not be able to do justice to this. He began to cry, and all those around him, imagine, cried for 6 hours. 6 hours. Intense crying for Krishna. This mood came into them also. They were also becoming, in a positive way, overtaken by this mood. And afterwards, after this had, has happened, the devotee said, for one who associates with you, even Vaikuntha loses its importance. We think only of Krishna and Vrindavan, you know, who came to you with his flute and dressed with a peacock feather. And what did they say? We all depend on you. May you lead us in kirtan. And then the sankirtan started from that place, that emotional orientation. Where are you, Krishna? O Krishna, my life and soul, said Mahaprabhu, where shall I go? What shall I do? Where can I meet you? Tell me, how can I find Krishna? My life is leaving me now because I can't find Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. We need this timepiece. So, this is, of course, the highly advanced stage of bhava. We can't, we have to first enter the first class, and then this is like high postgraduate university level. But this is the school which Mahaprabhu has opened. I remember in Germany we have a philosophical poet, Novalis is his name, and he said something very wonderfully. He said, after he had observed the dry Germans and the dry Germanness, he said, we need here a school of love. He said like this. He had also observed that they always go to war and have the 30-year-long war and this war and that war, and we need now a school of love. My dear devotees, we also need a school of love. The school where you, which is the love and separation. Because this is what separation does when it's not the lamentation for your missed opportunities in sense gratification, when it's the separation for Krishna and Krishna's pleasure, when it reaches to the spiritual world, then listen to this now. This is high information. Please wait. I know you have to go. Please wait for this information. You will need it for your young life. When you have such feelings for Krishna, I'm missing you like that, and it's not all right, you meet Krishna. That is almost like a paradox. When you are missing your meeting, that is because Krishna is non-material. Krishna is entirely spiritual. When you think of Krishna with deep feelings, then Krishna comes into your heart, and he's there. The point here is you must think of Krishna, and this is the most realistic, the most honest, the most relevant way of thinking, that I am now separated from Krishna and I want to be connected with him again. And this type of feeling will inform all other activities in your devotional service. It will empower you to be Krishna conscious. You know, that is what it means to be Krishna conscious. So there are many notes which I have here. Why is this so? This will be my last point. It is so because bhakti in one word means thirst. This is Baladev Vidyabhushana's definition of bhakti, thirst. And it's very easy for us to understand. If you do not feel an eagerness for something, then you will not like to engage with that. Let me use it in terms of the morning mood which you all have. You are now most probably a little hungry because you didn't eat for 6 hours of rest and 3 hours of morning program. That is 9 hours. So especially if you're young and not so old, your digestive fires are now really active. This is a good qualification to eat. If you don't have any hunger within you, even a most wonderful meal will not feel attractive for you. If you have a fever, for instance, then you have no hunger. The thought of food is discouraging to you. Thank you. If you have no hunger or thirst, is when you feel something for a liquid, if you have no thirst for the liquid nectar of Krishna consciousness, the nectar, that's a liquid taste, the amrita, you will be here and the chanting will be boring, so boring, can it please stop, and you will lecture, oh no, again lecture, oh no, reading, always the same author, some variety is required, please, without taste without thirst, you can't connect to this. Thirst and hunger help you to connect with, in this case, food. Thirst, eagerness, is the same thing, help you to connect with Krishna, with the practice. Eagerness for Krishna help you to connect. Without this, you are unconnected. It's the unconnected so-called Krishna conscious life. It's not Krishna conscious. You will be, when you are not connected with Krishna, you will be, your consciousness will be diverted to other things. So this eagerness, you must somehow start in this. And the place where you start in it is chanting Hare Krishna with that feeling which Prabhupada has so often said it. Please accept me. Have you ever been in a broken relationship that you did something? I offended my GBC once. That was long ago. The GBC is no longer in the GBC. It is. I'm now a good boy, but it was someone who's no longer in our movement. But he comes back now. He comes back now, and I liked him very much. We were very. It was a very wonderful devotee. Thinking of preaching, but we had a strong opinion, difference of opinion, how to preach and to what groups and so on. And I was a little bit too fired. It was my mistake, really. It was so bad. I just said bad words. Not bad, ironic words, Oh, best of the preachers. I said like this, but with a different feeling in it than the words, And afterwards, I had gone too far. It was clear to me. But I only said, when you have a biting, a sarcastic mood inside after discussion, and then you say it, the best of the preacher, it's really hurting the other. And I remember if I was arrogant and so on, and it was my mistake. It was my mistake, not his. He also had the better vision, as it turned out later. And I do remember, he was so hurt, he just wouldn't have anything to do with me. It was a friendly quarrel of friends. And I still remember one day I stood before his office. I knocked on the door. And he said, "No!" One friend knows when another friend is before the door. It's very easy. That I remember I went out. I had to go and cry a little. Went again. No sound. I knew he was thinking about it. "No time, come back tomorrow." "Okay, tomorrow." Then I knocked the day after, the tomorrow, the next day, and I remember he was there at the door. He opened the door and we embraced and we paid obeisances. "Oh, I'm a sinner," and he said, "I'm a sinner," and some good talk, and then we were one team again. So here's a relationship which we have for Krishna, to Krishna. And chanting means you knock at the door. "Please accept me. Please accept me. Please accept me." This is a very good entry. This is the Bhava, Vipralamba Bhava, in a relevant way for us devotees who are young in Krishna consciousness, not yet so mature. It will ultimately grow and grow and grow until you come to what is expressed in this verse number 108. Just as Radhika went mad at the sight of Uddhava, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was obsessed day and night with the madness of separation. You know, Krishna had left Vrindavan and Radhika was so absolutely distressed with feelings of separation that her body was so hot that if her friends would make a bed of lotus flowers for her and sprinkle it with Yamuna water, but the moment she lay down, the water evaporated and the lotus leaves became dry and curled up, the lotus flowers, that she felt so much, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" She felt like this. Nanda Maharaj felt so much separation that his bodily heat increased. It was like a fever. And his friends wouldn't dare to embrace him because who would like to fall into a raging fire? You know, it was so hot, like fire. Oh, like that, yes. So this mood of separation was emulated or was felt is the word, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu day and night. Day and night he felt like this. So this is, of course, this is a high school that will come, hopefully, one day. But at least now, think that you are fallen from Krishna. You have left the relationship and you need Krishna. And that is how you enter good feelings in devotional service, which will carry you onwards. Hare Krishna. It's a long subject. I could go to all my notes, the so beautiful verses here, but I think could you understand? Very important. Very important. And don't think, no, this is too high, I'm too low. This is correct, this is good if you have this feeling. You must, I'm not saying you should now imitate Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think you understood, but you should enter a school. If you never enter the first class, how will you go to the university? Not possible. So you have to enter the first, and when it comes, when you become more purified, then the second, third, and that means you won't be so cold like a block of ice in your spiritual life. You will start, life will flow again through your veins and through your heart.